Sam, for those who don't know, my name is Steve, and I'm the vicar here. And as we approach Christmas, I wonder what you are hoping for. I'm sure we've all got particular hopes. Perhaps you're hoping for a nice present. Perhaps it's something like family harmony this year. Perhaps you're hoping that Brexit will go away, or that it will happen, or maybe you are just hoping for a peaceful life. I guess when we think about Christmas, we all have different traditions. And one of the traditions that is probably kind of different in each family is how you do the present thing. And I remember as a child that it was deeply frustrating for me. What we used to do was we were allowed to have our stockings when we woke up first thing in the morning. And that was great. We loved them. But the big family presents, you know, the ones that sit wrapped up under the tree, we weren't allowed to have until much later in the day. In fact, it was after lunch. So when you're a little child and you've seen these presents and you want to get your hands on them, you were not allowed them. So we had to wait till after lunch. But not only after lunch, we then had to wait for the Queen's speech to be over. And also, and this was the really tough bit, all the washing up to be done. Well, you can imagine by the time that was over, we were climbing up the wall. But then, as we all sat around waiting for our presents, the final bit of the tradition was that we weren't allowed to open them until they'd all been handed out. And we all had our little pile of presents. And only then, probably about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, were we allowed to rip them open. And we did. And the paper came off, the packaging came off, all got thrown into the middle of the room. And this beautiful scene before, which had been, you know, the lovely tree and the presents and everyone sitting around, was suddenly chaos and mess and confusion. But we were satisfied. And as I was thinking about this, it occurred to me that so much of what we do at Christmas isn't neat and tidy, but is a little bit messy. You know, the images that we see on television of the adverts of happy families and wonderful food laid out never show you the kitchen with all the pots and pans which are waiting to be cleared up. And actually, life is like that, isn't it? In reality, life is a bit messier than most of us would like. Our national and political life is particularly messy at the moment. But history shows us that the kind of political chaos that we may think we're experiencing is actually nothing new. It's always been like that. Leaders, political parties, even empires have come and gone. And our readings tonight were all written at times of crisis, of political confusion. Isaiah wrote in that first reading, at a time where the then land of Israel was divided into two separate nations, the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. And the powerful Assyrians, that was one of the empires, had already conquered one of the kingdoms. And now Isaiah prophesies that the same thing is going to happen. But he goes on to give a wonderful promise. And he says this, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. In the midst of a dark and depressing time, he says, there is hope. Something will change. A great light will burst through. Now, this was 700 years before the birth of Jesus. Yet Isaiah looks forward to that day when it will happen. And he says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Yes, into the mess of humanity, into empires which grow and fall, the Son of God will come. And what will this son be? A wonderful counselor, a mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. 700 years later, another empire has arisen. This time it's the Romans. And the Romans have conquered much of the Mediterranean area. But again, it's the same thing. The people are oppressed. The people are fearful. And Luke tells us that a census is to be taken, not of Israel, but of the whole Roman world. And the light that was promised all those years ago bursts into this context. He appears not as another doomed ruler, not with an army to fight the enemy, but as a baby born in a stable, a child living in poverty. There was no new cot to put him in, just a borrowed manger. The first visitors weren't special. They were shepherds, people living in the fields, people on the margins of their community, people who were distrusted and disliked by those who were more respectable. And then along come this strange group of magi. We often think of them as kings. I bet you've got a Christmas card with three kings on somewhere. But more likely, they were astrologers, people who studied the stars in order to foretell the future. And their visit puts this new baby's life in jeopardy, because King Herod fears that another king is going to be a threat to him. And so he orders a mass slaughter in the area. And so the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, promised all those years ago, becomes a refugee with his parents, fleeing to save their lives. Over the years, we've romanticized this account. Our Christmas cards paint this glowing picture of the Holy Family in the stable with the animals all looking down into the manger, these kings waltzing in on their camels elegantly. We've adorned it with glitter and sentimentality, and I guess we do that because it gives us a respite in the midst of chaos, a respite in the midst of winter, a few days when we can forget the outside world, when we can relax, celebrate, and enjoy the good things of life. But the Bible tells us that all this happened, that Jesus came, not just so that we could have a good time each December. I hope we do have a good time in the next few weeks. But rather, Jesus came because God loved humanity so much that he wanted to get involved with the mess. He chose to come and live among us so that he could help us and provide hope. One of the most famous verses in the Bible says this: God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And elsewhere, the Bible says that Jesus said of himself, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. You see, Christmas is all about God coming to earth, a great light bursting into human chaos, God coming as a human being and living among us in the midst of our mess. It's all about the promise of life, a promise that all who choose to follow Jesus will be adopted into his family and given the wonderful gift of eternal life. Sam and I were reflecting just now that the carols we've been singing tell this story in such a great way. You really don't need me here to be saying any more. But the last carol in particular, I think, underlines this. Hark the herald angels sing, we will sing. And the last verse says this: Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, he left heaven and came to earth. Why? Born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Tonight we're celebrating God coming among us, coming into our messy world to bring light and life. It's not a vague hope. It's something that's real and life-changing. On your seats, you should have one of these leaflets. I would encourage you to take it home with you and read it when you have a few minutes. Apart from other things, it tells the stories of three people from this church who have discovered for themselves the hope that Jesus brings. Sharon, Jason, and Holly are just ordinary people. They know the mess of the world. They live with stuff in their lives, just like the rest of us too. But they have found in Jesus someone who makes a difference. They've seen the light. They've discovered life in all its fullness. And they know the promise that Jesus' birth gives them. This offer of life isn't just for Sharon and Jason and Holly. It's not just for Sam and for me. Jesus was born at Christmas for all of us. Because God loves all of us. He loves us so much. And he simply wants our friendship. Life is messy at times. It always has and always will be. Not every plan will go as you want it to be, and not every hope will be fulfilled. But God's offer to us is that he will come and bring us life in all its fullness if we would only reach out and ask him. We have some of these little booklets called Why Christmas. If you'd like to know more about what Jesus came to do, why he came to earth, and what Christians believe, we'd love to give you one. There's some outside. You can grab one as you have a glass of mulled wine afterwards. Or Sam or myself, and we'd love to talk to you more. But our prayer for each one of us here is that the coming of Jesus at Christmas wouldn't be something that we pack away when the decorations go back in their box, but something that changes our lives as we journey into and through a new year and beyond. Amen.